Carol Gentry, of course, healthcare.gov is trying to do the job of enrolling Americans from 36 states, the states that declined to set up their own health insurance exchanges, including Florida. Your organization, Health News Florida, has done great reporting on the Affordable Care Act issues in our state. What are you seeing this morning? What can you share with us about the state of enrollment in Florida?
I don't see a lot of progress. I don't hear feedback from people that they're having a lot of luck getting on. And I'm beginning to think that maybe the best thing would have been for them to shut it down for a couple of weeks so they can just concentrate and then have a small beta test to, and then reopen. I myself went on the website yesterday to see how the browser was working. You know, one of the improvements is that they at least now have a button where you can see the plans in your county before you have to fill out all the paperwork or the online paperwork. And I was noodling around there yesterday, and I discovered that that I was being told I had options for plans, but I know because of my studying the law, I don't have access to. So I think there are still problems.
Yeah. And it's 549-2937 to share your thoughts about the issues plaguing the website healthcare.gov. Now, Carol, the Health and Human Services Department, they oversee healthcare.gov. They announced over the weekend they've brought in private IT contractors to rewrite flawed computer code that has crippled this site and made it almost impossible to sign up for health insurance. Compare the situation here in Florida, where we don't have a state exchange, to states that do. California comes to mind, for example, Washington State. How would you assess the situation when you break it down state by state and you look at states that have assumed this responsibility versus a state like ours where sign up is left to this impossible website and navigators that are out in the community trying to sign people up face to face?
Last night I noticed on my Facebook page that I was getting some gloating remarks from friends in California. Ours is doing just fine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so is Washington State and some of the other states. Kentucky, of all places, is having
pretty much
no problem.
They've signed up 8,000 people. Meanwhile, in New York is reporting not a single person has signed up through the federal portal.
Right.
So
I don't think that – I heard Julie Rodner say this morning on NPR that nobody in the federal government expected 36 states to rely on the feds, and that's probably true. And it's an enormous undertaking. What I'm wondering, what I'd like somebody to tell, you know, come out and tell the truth about is, did they go with the low bidder? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. Well, wasn't that a miscalculation, though, Carol, for the feds to bank on the fact that more states would jump in and be part of this?
And in retrospect, if you're a backseat driver, but I think I would have thought the same thing given the rhetoric. You're seeing the states that say that are all in favor of states' rights, or like Florida and Texas, they're the ones who were crowing most loudly, get the federal government off our back, let us do our own thing. And then they turned around and said, no, we'll just let the feds do it. So it was, I can see why they miscalculated.
And we'll go to your calls about healthcare.gov at 549-2937 in just a moment. It seems as though the pressure on the Obama administration, particularly since Republicans who have long been opposed to this change in the health insurance marketplace, are now gloating, frankly, and saying this is proof of what we've said all along, that this type of federal effort is too complex, too unwieldy to roll out efficiently. What about the politics of it?
Well, if I must. I mean, I'm sick of the politics of it, as I imagine most people are. I would simply say to the Republicans, enjoy your gloat while it lasts, because, you know, Medicare eventually got its act together and has become a popular program. And if it's entirely conceivable that the same thing could happen with the Affordable Care Act. What we're trying to do is forecast what's going to be happening a year from now from a place where we can't see that far.
Let me ask you as well, here in Florida, because while Governor Scott eventually said he was in favor of expanding Medicaid coverage to low-income patients, the Florida House took the opposite position. Even if Floridians are at a certain point able to enroll under the Affordable Care Act, how many of the state's residents will fall into that so-called donut hole where they make too much to be covered under Medicaid, but not enough to get the Obamacare subsidy to get health coverage?
Right. Let me set the framework here, because it's extremely confusing to people who don't do this day in and day out. There are three things all going on at the same time. It's like a three-ring circus. We've got the uninsured people who are trying to sign up for the Affordable Care Act. We've got Medicare enrollment going on this month and next. And we've got people arguing that the Medicaid expansion should proceed in Florida so that people under the poverty level can get access to the Affordable Care Act marketplace. So all of this is going on at the same time, and it's very dizzying. There are a number of groups, like the League of Women Voters and some others, that are, and businesses, chambers of commerce, who are calling for the state to rethink its policy of not taking the billions of dollars that are waiting for it in Washington, just sitting there. Mm. I had an interview with Sebelius last week, I guess it was, and one of the things she said that stuck in my mind, and I use it as a headline, is we've got this $51 billion is just sitting here in Washington waiting for Florida to take it. If you care about public health, and that's leaving politics aside, please let me leave politics aside. If you care about public health, then you know that people need preventive health care. And if you look at the people between 30% and 100% of poverty in Florida, a lot of them are working part-time jobs or full-time jobs that don't pay well. And then you say, it would be nice to have them in the pool because they're probably pretty healthy, those working people. It also includes some people who aren't so healthy. And Florida's history with Medicaid is that we, our predecessors in political office, decided that it was a good idea to offer Medicaid coverage to parents, and they would allow more parents in if they were working than if they weren't working, which was understandable. Mm. But under the new rules, anybody who has over 30% of the poverty level, which is like nothing, it's like two nickels, doesn't qualify unless they have children in the home. And most of the women I know in their 40s, 50s, 60s, their kids have left the nest, and they're saying, I need access to this insurance. So, yes, there are a lot of people in Florida who are concerned about Florida's refusal to expand Medicaid.
Go ahead. No. I just want to get some callers on the line. Lots of calls this morning as we speak live with Health News Florida's Carol Gentry. What are your thoughts and reactions to the issues with the website healthcare.gov? Gary L. in Jacksonville is on the line. Gary L., good morning. All right, we missed his call, but give us a call back at 549-2937. Paul in Orange Park. Hi, Paul. How are things in Orange Park today?
Busy as usual, but interesting as always. I wish we could leave politics out of this discussion, but the fact remains that the Republican Party has been attacking this Affordable Health Care Act since it was first written. On September 20th in the USA Today on page A7, there's an article about David Koch, a billionaire, and let me read a brief portion of it. Americans for Prosperity will spend $3.1 million on TV advertising in six states, said the president, Tim Phillips. His 60-second ad stars an older woman who says she has twice survived cancer and frets about the government interference in a medical system that says saved her life. But that doesn't, translate into anything about the Affordable Health Care Act.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Paul, what's your question?
My question is, why is it not obvious to everybody that the problems with the rollout of the Health Care Act are being caused by the Republicans, A, and B, you know, the Ford Model T didn't roll off the line perfect. It took time to bring it to perfection. And C, people are judging the Health Care Act, 10 days before it was even online. This is completely an irrational, condemnation of a system that is going to take time to develop, and I think the Republicans ought to be hit back, put them in their place.
Thanks for the call, Paul.
We're
getting lots of feedback online and on Twitter. Here's an email from a listener. While Republicans bash the rollout, several hundred thousand unemployed Floridians are in immediate jeopardy with the rollout of a new website for filing unemployment claims. Talking about issues with that site, here's an email from Laura. How much of the computer problems are due to hackers? There's some discussion about whether that could be a factor. No proof, though. And then on Twitter, Joel, I tried to get a private plan but was denied because of a pre-existing condition. I can get the same plan in January thanks to the Affordable Care Act. And on our Facebook page, Jimmy, I hope you'll compare and contrast why rollout is going smoother in California and New York. Could it be that political leaders there wanted easy health care access for their citizens? So very strong feelings about this issue, and the lines are jammed. We want your calls and comments. Let's go to Johnny in Washington Heights. He's on the line with us. Hi, Johnny. Good morning.
Hi, Melissa. How are you doing?
All right, thanks.
I haven't called in a while. I have a question. We're talking about the Affordable Health Care Act and signing up for it and stuff. The uninsured and those around the poverty line, they barely have access to the internet. What are we going to do about those people?
Thanks for the question, Johnny. Carol Gentry, we've interviewed a navigator here in Northeast Florida who has been going out into communities, going to area Walgreens and other locations, health centers, libraries, trying to connect with people who might not have internet access. As you look around the state, how would you assess that effort?
Well, I don't have statewide vision, but I would say that going to find a navigator and talking to them about your particular situation would be a good idea in advance of even having the website up. There are a couple of reasons. One is that you can peruse the plans in your county, and on our website, healthnewsflorida.org, we have all of the different plans for the whole state, the link to the site on that. And we also have the chart where you can look and see how many people are in your household and look at the income range to qualify for subsidies for the premiums. So there's a lot of work you can do in advance of being able to use the website. And one of those things is talking to a navigator or an enrollment counselor. Mm-hmm. Another thing you can do is try calling the toll-free hotline. And for those who don't know what it is, it's 800-318-2598. And they have people there who will talk you through what your options are. Another option is to go to an insurance agent, although I think a neutral enrollment counselor would be a better idea. Mm-hmm. And every community health center has one.
And if you're just joining the program, lots of calls this morning as we speak live with Health News Florida editor Carol Gentry. She's on the line from Tampa as we discuss the issues with the rollout of healthcare.gov. What are your thoughts? 549-2937. Amy in St. Johns County. Thanks for holding, Amy. Good morning to you.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have three comments. First of all, I'm so grateful that you have Carol on because there's so much rhetoric around this topic. It's great to hear from somebody who can give some comparison state by state of what's going on and, you know, where it is working in states where the politicians put the people and their health in front of the politics. Also, I'd like to just comment about the fact that I don't understand how anyone, I'm not going to call political names out, but how anyone thinks that by denying health care, you can build the economy. because let me tell you, when I'm healthy, when my husband's healthy, when my kids are healthy, I'm a much better employee, and I'm much more willing to be productive and to go out into the economy and spend money. So anybody who thinks that by keeping people from being healthy and encouraging them to be healthy helps the economy is living in la-la land. And third, I just want to comment that I hope to God the people of Florida remember this when election time comes. Because anybody who votes for politicians that put politics in front of their people, I don't know what they have in mind. I don't know why they even bother to vote. So those are my three comments, Melissa. Thanks for taking this call and these challenging comments.
Amy, thanks for your call. That's Amy down in St. John's County. Meanwhile, we've got calls from across the listening area. Elise, she's driving along I-95. Hi, Elise. Good morning.
Hi. Hey, how are you?
All right, thanks.
Thanks for taking my call. I have a couple of comments also. First of all, I would really love it if you could recoach your comments regarding the supposed impossibility of the website, because I've used it. It's not impossible. It's mm-hmm. cumbersome, mm-hmm. and it took more than one effort to actually get through. But it works. It's like during the financial crises when I unfortunately lost a job for several months and I was on unemployment, the Florida Labor website where you made your unemployment claims crashed constantly. So I would spend half a day trying to actually file my claim. I don't remember an uproar about that. And the other comment I'd like to make is that the refusal of the legislature to accept the money from Washington for Medicare is a sham, and we should be embarrassed. And that's all I have to say.
Elise, thanks. We're getting feedback about similar comments to what Elise just made. Roxanne emails the show. I waited a few weeks until after the rollout. I signed up during Sunday night football. Roxanne, that was smart. It was not too bad, and I found a policy. My thoughts on any manufactured item for the government, the job always goes to the lowest bidder. Of course, she's referring to the outsourcing of the IT work. From Martha, why is the floor for subsidies through the act so high? If Florida won't expand Medicaid, why can't poor people get insurance with less of a subsidy than they otherwise might have? Carol Gentry, lots of anxiety out there about Medicaid still.
Let's take a little trip down the historical lane. Just a year ago, the Supreme Court was the one that knocked out the Medicaid requirement that every state expand its Medicaid program to include all of the poor. And when they did that, a lot of red states said, okay, we're not going to do it because we don't want anything to do with the Affordable Care Act. And that is exactly the mindset. It doesn't matter how much money you offer them. They believe they are standing on principle. Our House Republican leadership in Florida believes it is standing on principle by refusing to take any money that's tied to the Affordable Care Act.
And to give voice to their point of view, they're saying even with the federal subsidy in the beginning, they're concerned that states down the road can't afford the increased responsibility.
They say that. That I have not seen any data to support that, but that's what they say. There have been studies that look at some, and in fact, I have stumbled over some of the things that the state spends money for, like mental health and substance abuse treatment. We spend hundreds of millions of dollars a year as a state on those services because they're not for people who are not insured. If those people were insured, we wouldn't have to spend that money anymore. So there are savings in unexpected places once you stop having to do charity care.
Let's go to Mark in St. Augustine. Mark, thanks for holding. Go ahead, Mark. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. My comment had to do with the whether or not Florida accepts the federal funding. And my understanding, and I hope your host can correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is if Florida accepted that money, then whenever that money runs out, then yes, Florida is still on the hook for continuing those programs. And if you recall several years ago, I think it was President Clinton that did the expansion of police forces around the country. We want to put 100,000 more policemen out there. it sounds good on paper, and they gave out the money for cities and municipalities to hire more policemen, but after a certain period of time, it became incumbent on those municipalities to continue on with funding that program. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder if it's the state looking at down the road saying, hey, we don't have the financial wherewithal to continue this program, so therefore we're not going to accept the money right now.
And that is almost exactly the position, Mark, that is exactly the position of the House Republicans. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Philip in St. Johns County. Hi, Philip. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I don't really believe that the Republicans are demons and that they really believe people should have access to health care. I think it's the way this act is implemented, and the way that instead of relying on our economy and free market ideas to take hold, we never even tried that. Instead, we went straight to this big version of subsidies and more federal spending. We didn't even try to say, hey, you know what, California, you know what, Florida, you know what, Michigan. You're all going to have to accept this insurance. If I'm in Florida and I want to buy from Michigan, let me buy from Michigan. We never even tried free market the way. Instead, we said, you know what? We're going to keep everyone in Florida in Florida. We're not going to allow you to buy from Georgia. We're not going to allow you to buy from New York because some of the more liberal states that want you to have very expanded health care or if you live in California, we're going to require that you have, cancer on your plan, and it's going to have to cover this much. It made healthcare very expensive to get in some of these other areas. Where instead, if I wanted to go to say another state that didn't have such high requirements, I think Republicans love the idea of a lot of the ideas in it. I think they love having your children on. I think they love the pre-existing condition part. But you have to do it in a way that isn't so partisan. Anyway, I'll take my comments off here.
Thank you for your call, Philip. Carol Gentry, what about that?
Yes, I've heard that. I've been covering healthcare for a long time. I remember back in the days before the Florida legislature enacted statutes against allowing cross-state purchase of insurance for individuals and small groups. What I saw happening was there was a lot of fraud. There were a lot of scams. People were buying insurance, thinking they had insurance, when what they were doing was really buying something, and they had no recourse. That was why the state legislature enacted laws that enabled the state to crack down and have some authority over who sold insurance in the state. That's the history of it. Now, the point being that market principles promote competition, that's a great idea. And in fact, I think that's why the Heritage Foundation, when they came up with this and embraced this plan that became Romney Care and that became Obamacare, I think that's what they had in mind. What we have now is a bunch of over 100, in fact, in Pinellas County. I don't remember the number in Jacksonville. Plans in this county competing for business. So,
and the idea is that the competition will eventually bring down the cost curve. That's a concept that came out of the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank.
But your caller has one good point, and that is that if you put a lot of mandates, if you require that the coverage be so mm-hmm. comprehensive,
yeah.
then it's going to make the price higher than if you require less. And that is still something we could negotiate if only the two sides would talk to each other.
Right. Let's go to Phyllis on Beach Boulevard. Hi, Phyllis. Are you still there? She had a call about where can I find a local community health center. Phyllis, if you're still listening, you need to go to the Duval County Health Department's website. That's dchd.net, dchd.net. Let's take one more call. It's Rick in Jacksonville. Rick in Jacksonville, thanks for holding. Are you still there? Good morning.
Yes, I am. Good morning to you.
Go ahead.
One of the earlier callers said about trying to get to an internet, they don't have it. One thing I think the mayor would be smart with, we have a ton of schools, including the community colleges, that I know especially in the afternoons that their computer labs are not being used. All of them have internet connection. I think they need to reach out and do a community effort of blocking off a set of time that won't interfere with the school schedule and have someone at least monitor how to get on the internet and help them try to do that. I think you would reduce a lot of the anxiety and do a community service. Both UNF, FSCJ, JU, all of them have downtimes for the labs, and they would be a community project. I know that they rent some of their labs out, for tax purposes, maybe somebody wants to do tax training. So I think that's a great opportunity if the mayor or city council would and make a contact with the universities and the community colleges.
Yeah, Rick, thank you so much for that. And, of course, the digital divide is an issue in a lot of other areas of life, not just this one. Thanks for those thoughts. Carol Gentry, as you continue to cover this issue, in terms of not just about Rick's comments about people being able to access the internet, but people being able to access the marketplace, what are your final thoughts?
I would like to give you a website to check out, because not all of your listeners are in Duval County, probably. You can go to the Florida Association of Community Health Centers, FACHC.org, and there is a statewide list of hundreds of community health centers. My final thoughts on, tell me again what the question was.
As we've seen by the calls, there is a lot of interest in accessing this marketplace and a lot of frustration with the issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sort of like waiting for Christmas when you're a kid. You want it to be tomorrow, and it's not, and it's very frustrating, and we're having tantrums. I just tell everybody I know, look, just go do something else for a couple weeks. And I'll come back to it in November. You've got lots of time, and let them work it all out. The worst thing that could happen is that there will be, more crowds when you get closer to the December 15th optimal enrollment date. But I would suggest to you that the accuracy of the data is more likely to be on point the longer you wait. So if I were enrolling, I would wait till November.
Well, thank you once again for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Carol Gentry is the editor of Health News Florida, a subsidiary of WUSF in Tampa.